opening the pulpit for Pastor Marquita and myself, and just being able to be here to speak into your family. We know what it's like to open your pulpit for somebody, and we haven't known each other for a really long time. We met each other a couple of times at various conferences and things, but it sure has been great this weekend, getting to spend time with you and your people, and just getting to know you and being down here in God's country, right? Is that right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were working hard on us, trying to get us to get a Texas shirt, but I said I'd get fired if I showed back up to Oklahoma in a Texas shirt. But anyway, glad to be here. So thankful for this morning. Believing for some good things this morning. Amen. Just a continuation. All weekend's been good. You know, we've learned as the song and as many things have been mentioned already, you know, nobody's better than anybody else. We're all just different. And God did it that way. Amen. He did it that way on purpose, with purpose, so we would have to depend on each other. You get that? You know, if we could do it all, if we had it all, if we were all that in a bag of chips, as somebody said, you know, we wouldn't need each other. We wouldn't honor each other. But I've just got a small part. God gave me a part to play. God gave you a part to play. And oh my goodness, when we get together like a grand symphony, right, and begin to play that, how amazing that is, right? Well, praise the Lord. Well, Marquita and I planted a church in Oklahoma about 28 years ago. We actually just celebrated the church's 28th anniversary last weekend, wasn't it? And God has blessed us, and it's been good. We kind of grew up as childhood sweethearts, and I prayed hard. This is the way my prayer life developed, was just trying to get this woman to marry me. I mean, we grew up in church, and she was just not cooperating. You know, she just, I don't know what it was. She wasn't listening to the Lord. I know what it was. And so I prayed, though, and you know whose prayers God heard. Amen. And so anyway, I don't know if I won or she won. We both won. But yeah, Talita, you got a picture of my family up there. I want to just introduce you to our family back home and let you get to know them for a second. And then we're going to jump right into the Word. All right. Oh, there they are. I was looking back there. I was like, that's the clock. All right, yeah. So we've got four sons. Our two oldest are married. They both have two kids. That's what I meant to say. What did I say? Four? That's not prophetic or anything, is it? Lord. Whew. We have three sons, one daughter, four children total, right? Three plus one. Yeah. All right. Our oldest son, his wife, they pastor in the town next to us. And our second oldest son, they're sitting next to me with the dark hair. It looks like his mama. He's on our preaching, teaching team there at the church. And our daughter on this far end over here, she's our worship pastor. And then our youngest son, he's just 19, and he's on the end there, and he likes to help with audio, video, and all that good kind of stuff. And then our grandkids are just disgusting. They're just little booger eaters, but we love them to death, you know. Got two, each of our oldest sons have two, and then we just found out at Christmas time that our oldest and his wife's expecting again, so that'll give us number five. And we're excited about that, because them grandkids, they're disgusting, but they're awesome. We love them. We just love them anyway, you know. I tell them, I don't pull no punches. Every time they come, I say, y'all are gross and disgusting, and I get a clean. We got a clean, deep clean every time after you leave. But it's worth it. Amen. It's worth it. We love them. We like to laugh. Is it okay to have fun in here? Because if we can't laugh, I better stop right now. Because there's a couple of things that's probably going to happen this morning. We're obviously just going to minister in the Word and the Spirit, but we're going to laugh and we're going to have fun. But I believe the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I believe we need strength for the journey. Amen? Amen. Well, we were praying. We always try to pray at the end of the year. We try to host a New Year's Eve prayer and prophetic service, and we gather our team together, and we're seeking for a theme for the next year, and we try to introduce that on New Year's Eve. Just have about an hour and a half service there from 7 to 8:30, and then we let everybody go and ring in the new year however they want. But man, we just wasn't getting anything this year. I mean, just nothing. And so we just rang in the new year and really didn't have the direction that we were really hoping for. And January came around and we just started preaching and just didn't really have a direction. And then I think it was maybe towards the end of January, 1st of February, I was up early one morning just studying. And this theme came to me, and you might recognize it too, but the theme that we settled on was, there is more in 2024. We were talking earlier. I said, man, you know, I think it was Joyce Myers we heard say this. She said one time, she said, if we're all listening to the same God, shouldn't we all be hearing the same thing? And when Pastor Marquita was preparing for the women's conference and she was talking to Miss Amy there, and she shared, you know, you guys' theme for this year, I was like, no way! You know, I mean, that's it right there. So we're going to go ahead and continue that theme if it's okay with you, because I don't know about you, but I believe that there is more. And I don't want to settle for less. I don't want to get to heaven. Do you come down and do you walk around or Jericho march or take off running or any? Is this a full gospel church? Come on, because apparently there's some kind of full gospel churches, or three quarters full or whatever. But I want to make sure that we're in a full gospel church, right? You know, there's another denomination that, you know, a four square. Right? Four square gospel. They believe Jesus saves and they believe Jesus is coming back. But, you know, there's a couple more sides to that, right? We believe he feels and we believe he heals. Amen. How many believe in all that too? I mean, we know he's coming back. Come on, right? He said it. But come on. You know, I have to be honest with you. I grew up in a denomination in a church that it was all about the rapture and all about the rapture, all about the rapture. And we'd pray, Jesus come, Jesus come, get me out of here, Jesus. Beam me up, Jesus, right? Because I'm tired of this, right? I'm done here. But man, think of how selfish that is when we have unsaved friends and family members and unsaved neighbors out there, and there are people all over the world that still even haven't heard the name of Jesus. Listen, we can't go yet because we're not done yet. There is more. Look at somebody and tell them, there's more. There's more, and I don't want to get to heaven and hear, oh man, there was so much more that you could have experienced. There was so much more that you could have had you just pressed in, had you just not gave up. Come on. Isn't it Galatians somewhere in chapter 6, verse 9, that says, if we don't grow weary in doing well, in due season, we'll what? We'll reap. Amen. Some of you, the Bible says we sow and sow and sow. Some of that sowing is in tears. But the Bible promises, there's a promise from God that those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Amen. Listen, I don't want to get out of here before I start reaping some stuff. I don't want to get out of here before I've heard about revivals back in the day, and I've heard about how God moved back in the day, but I'm not satisfied with where I am today. I don't want to leave until I get to experience some of that stuff. Is there anybody else here who believes there's more? I mean, you really believe it? Because, I mean, you got to know it. Now look, if I told you that immediately after service, over here next to the car where we're parked, there is a briefcase with $1 million in it. And the first person there gets it. I guarantee you, if you believed that, and I was serious about that, which I am not, because I brought my offering today. I brought my offering. I have a dollar and a quarter and 2 pennies. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Yeah? How much money does Pastor Scott have? No, just kidding. I'm not Jaden. I'm not broke. All right, but But if that was real, you'd break your neck trying to get out of that seat and be the first one out in that parking lot. Am I right? If you believed it. If you believed it. And yet this book is full of promises far superior to $1 million. But do we believe it? And are we pursuing it? Come on, church. I mean, because you can say, well, I believe it, Pat. But what are you doing about it? We're going to talk. The title, if I could title the message this morning, is Where is the More? Where's the more? I mean, Pastor, if there's more, where is it? I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been praying for it. We pray. We pray. We understand the power of prayer. We believe in prayer. So where's the more? I mean, come on. I grew up in that Word of Faith area where it was name it and claim it. Name it and claim it. And then we just kind of reduced that to blab it and grab it. And then it just turned into gimme, gimme, gimme. My name's Jimmy. But I mean, there's some truth in there, but we gotta, you know, we can't just sit back on our good intentions and expect God to just drop it in our lap. Lord, I need $1 million, or Lord, I need this, and we just lean on the shovel and expect there to be a hole. Come on. Come on. This is a partnership. Our relationship with God is a partnership. He has a part and we have a part. And it is just insanity to expect Him to do His part if we're unwilling to do our part. Come on. Come on. Because God's not the great Oz in the sky behind the curtain. Come on. Right? He's not a genie that you get out your Bible and you rub it 3 times and turn around and, you know, and say hallelujah, hallelujah. And, you know, just expect something to appear, hello, before you. Come on. There's a part. And you know, I don't know. Let me just say this. Anything I say this morning that may sound contrary to anything Pastor Sam would say, you know who to go to, right? Be like, Pastor Sam, I don't know. And so, you know, he's the man of the house. He's the pastor here, and that's who we want to honor, and I don't think we will. But anyway, but just in case something ridiculous, you know, comes out of my mouth, and it has happened before, hasn't it, honey? Yeah, sometimes from the pulpit, sometimes just not. We grew up, at least I did, let me just pick on me for a second, being taught, don't question God. Don't question God. But I mean, has anybody got kids? Anybody ever saw a kid? Anybody ever talked to a kid? Huh? What are they? If they're anything, they're full of questions. My kids are all grown, and they still don't believe me 90% of the time. And I thank God for Google every day, because I'm like, you Google it right here. Right? Get your phone out, Google it. I'm telling you the truth. And I love it when they Google, look something up, and they're like, okay, Dad. I was like, that's right, okay, Dad. Why can't you just believe me? But you know what? I never get on to them for asking questions. I never get on. It displays in them just a pursuit of wanting to know, wanting to understand. Dad, are you sure? Are you sure? What about this, Dad? What about this, Dad? And so, I don't know about you, but if we're sons and daughters of God, come on, are we sons and daughters of God? Paul said, we're no longer servants or slaves, but we are free sons and daughters of God, right? Adopted into the family, heirs with Christ. Then I got some questions, Dad. Where's the more? Where's the more? I mean, if it's in here, then how do we get it from here to here? How do we get it? How do we access it? If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. This is going to be easy. When you get there, say amen. I got my resurrection offering envelope. I can't wait. I don't think I'll be able to bring it back by Easter, but I can put it in the mail. Come on. Are you in Genesis 1? Anybody need help finding Genesis 1? Told you we're going to make this easy. You know, that's one thing I love about Jesus. He made everything easy, didn't he? You're not feeling well? We'll get up. You can't walk? We'll stand up. You can't see? We'll see. You can't hear? We'll hear. I'm like, how much easier can you get than that? What's the greatest commandment of all the commandments? You know, and then Jesus just breaks it down, makes it easy. Let's just try to break it down and make it easy, okay? Now let me. It's 11:30. I'm going to need at least 30 minutes. Is that going to be okay? All right, all right. You know, there's something in the Bible, or there's something about the Bible, I should say, called the law of first mention. Have you heard of that? Okay. You've got some great pastors in the house. My goodness. Powerful worship. Woo! We could have, if y'all just wanted to have done that all morning, it would have been okay with me. And listen, I'm not just saying that. We go a lot of places, and you are blessed. This house is blessed, right? The Lord, you are so blessed with your pastors and your team and everybody we saw into action this weekend. My goodness. So there's something about the Bible called the law of first mention. If you want to know what something means, if you really want to understand something, go find it the very first place in Scripture. And that sets a precedence for all the rest of Scripture. And so let's just read in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How many believe that? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I don't know about your Bible, but I'm reading out of the New King James Version, and when it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water, that's a capital S in my Bible. You know, when you capitalize something like that, it's somebody's name. If you're talking about Pastor Sam, is capital S. Hello? You know what the people at my church call me? They call me PSP. Pastor Scott Page. And I said, hey, that's PSP right there. That's Pastor Sam Pretty. I just had to throw that in. The earth was without form. That word there means chaos. It was just chaotic. God created something, but he wasn't done. And in the middle, it looked chaotic. There's promises, can I get an amen, that in here for your life, but if it's not manifested yet, it may look a little chaotic for a while. Can I get an amen? Don't give up just because it's dark and void and the resources aren't there for your dream. And the people may not be there supporting you or cheering you on. Or you may not be able to see everything or physically touch everything God's promised you. And it may look darker than ever. Listen, don't give up. Because we see God created. But before he's finished, it looks a little chaotic. Void and dark was over the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God was there hovering. That word spirit there, capital S, is Ruach. It means the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father, with the Son. And it says in the definition there in the original language that he was there imparting, listen to this, warlike energy and executive power. Come on. God, in the beginning, created, and in this process, the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit was there. We see right in the beginning here, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. and the Spirit was there. What was the Spirit doing? It was just hovering. We're going to learn why in just a second. But it says the Spirit of God, Ruach, the Spirit of God Himself, imparting warlike energy and executive power. Woo, what was He doing? He was hovering. That word hovering there means to brood over. Okay, He wasn't just floating there with no purpose. He was brooding there. It says to move, to brood with feelings of tender love. Like a mother hen broods over her chicks, right? Just spreading those. Man, we moved out to the country. We're city folk. We moved out to the country about 3 years. Well, COVID, didn't we? Somebody heard we were moving to the country. They said, we got chickens. You need chickens if you're going to live in the country. My wife bless her heart. She said, we don't need no chickens. And I just want to tell you now, this woman looks so fine in her high heels and her shirt today, but don't let her fool you. She is the chicken whisperer now. They all got names, and she feeds them every morning, and they come up. Listen, our rooster, bless his heart, we lost him, but he would come to the back patio door, and he would take his foot, and he would claw like a dog, be like, is it time to eat? And she would go out there, oh, hello, you know. She was brooding over the chickens. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's there in creation. Where's the Holy Spirit in your life right now? He's just there hovering. He's exactly the same place He was in creation. Now listen, we're going somewhere with this, okay? Where's the Holy Spirit? Where is that warlike energy, Pastor Scott? Where is that executive power? I tell you where He's at. He's brooding just like He was in Genesis. Well, that's not helping me much, Pastor Scott. Well, it will in just a few minutes. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, capital S, was softly and tenderly hovering. Everybody say waiting. Waiting in creation. What was the Holy Spirit waiting on? Do you know? Look at the next verse. And the Spirit of God, at the end of verse 2, was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3, then God said, there's the word. There's the word. Then God said, let there be light. And what happened? Do you know who did that part? Oh, the warlike energy part. The executive power part. See, in creation, when God began this plan, it wasn't finished yet. It looked a little chaotic, and the Holy Spirit was just hanging out, just, oh. I tell you, the best example I've seen of that is these kids right here. Before that, I was like, what are these kids kept going. I was like, what are these kids doing? I was like, man, you could tell. I mean, I've never been here before. I didn't know what the plan was, but I could tell those kids were hovering. They were waiting on something. And as soon as that video came on, they took off like a rocket. Oh! So what's the Holy Spirit waiting on? He's waiting on the Word. Where is the Word? The Bible tells us the Word is near you. It's so near, it's even in your mouth. So do you know where the more is that you're waiting for? It is right here. We're not waiting on Ramadan. We're not waiting on Rosh Hashanah. We're not waiting on a blood moon. We're not waiting on a magical number. We're not waiting on a Jewish calendar. God, the Holy Spirit, is waiting on you to get your words right, to line up with His words. And when you declare like He did, let there be light. The Holy Spirit said, it's my time to shine. And He goes into action. Oh, but did you know what? You can't look pitiful enough to move the Holy Spirit. You can't sound sad enough to move the Holy Spirit. Griping won't move him. Complaining won't move him. Well, where's the more? We've been talking about more money, more love, more this, more that. I'll see none of it. Where is it? I need to work out more. I gotta step it up, brother. I gotta step it up. I'm trying. I just, whoo, come on. Then God, where was the Holy Spirit? He's just hovering, just waiting. I believe it looked like them kids, maybe. Holy Spirit, like, now. Then God said, let there be light. Boom! If you believe in a big bang, that's where it happened, right there. Bang! There was light. But you know, if you go down that chapter, then God said. Now, you have to understand, the important part is your declaration. Because we read when God creates man and woman, that we were created, what? In His image. What does that mean? That means you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything until you think about it first. Come on, if you've ever had a baby, you ever had a kid, while that baby's in the womb, you're thinking about what they're going to look like. You're dreaming about what color eyes, what color hair, what are they going to look like? Mamie, are they going to look like Papa or Mama or Daddy or whatever? Or what, you know, what are they going to be? They're going to be president. I know it. They're going to be president. I don't know if I'd wish that on anybody right now. That's a, whoo. You're imagining, you're thinking about those kids, right? What they're going to do, what they're going to be, praying over them, right? Giving them names that just significant with purpose. Because every time you call out that name, you're declaring over them what that name means. Is that right? But you can't just keep it in your imagination. When God got ready to create man, it said we were made in His image. But when He got ready to create us, He said something. He said something, and then He did something. Listen, do you know where the more is that we're declaring? It's right here in your mouth. And it's not exactly the same for everybody. Everybody doesn't need healing from cancer. Everybody doesn't need a financial. But you know there's more. There's a bigger miracle than a financial miracle. You know, we said, praise God, I got $1,000 in the mail. That's a great miracle, but there's something better than that. Not needing the $1,000. Being so blessed, being so prosperous. Come on, did you know there are people who live like that? That live with more than enough? Come on. Oh, I want some of that. I want some of that. Well, what are you declaring? Well, you know, I tell my kids every time they ask for something at Walmart, hey, money don't grow on trees. Well, that's not what I'm talking about declaring, because I haven't found that in the Bible. You can't just say whatever you want to say. You got to say what God says. To get the more that God has promised requires that we agree with what God has said. And then you make that your declaration. Come on. I've been in worship services that's lasted an hour and a half. And sometimes we sing the song 37 times. And I've heard people say, my God, why did we sing that song so many times? Doesn't God already know it? But you know what our reply is? I was like, we're not trying to convince God. We're trying to convince us. Come on, there's more, there's more. Hey, I mean, same with the kids, right? How many of you have kids or grandkids? You don't even say anything one time anymore. You say everything three or four times. You don't just say, hey, come here. Come here. I said, come here. Right? Come here. Right? Because they don't always hear it the first time. You could be sitting here in the church and you can hear a message. You're not always listening. Let me get back here. Let me get back here in the cheap seats. Come on. I've sat through a lot of good messages thinking about something else. Come on. I didn't always hear what the preacher was saying. And I didn't always take notes, and I didn't always get up the next morning and pray it through and write it down and write it out and say, God, yeah, and repeat it. We've got "Are There Is More" declarations we told people. We printed a little sign. We said, put them up on your vanity mirror, put them in your car, hang them in your bedroom, because everywhere you go, every day you need to be declaring there is more. And how long do you have to declare it? You got to declare it until you believe it. Well, Pastor Pretty, that was a great message. That's all we need. Just go on to something else, brother. Are you kidding me? We know that don't work. Do you know why we do series? Because we just preach on something one time. You don't forget it by lunchtime. Come on, you're like, what was that? What was that message? Have you ever, I don't know if you ever do this. I try to do this to our congregation every now and then just to scare them a little bit. I said, who could tell me what we preached on last Sunday? They're just like, or they're like, trying to look spiritual like they're praying. Don't bother me, Pastor Scott, I'm praying right now. Praying, we don't call on you. That's what you're doing because you don't forgot what it was. Oh, that's probably just an Oklahoma thing. Then God said. That word "said" means declared. It means command. It means to think. It means told. It means called. Where is the Spirit of God, Pastor Scott? Where is the more? It's hovering. He is not an it, right? He is hovering. He's hovering over you right now. He's hovering over your situation. He's hovering over whatever is trying to get you down. But he can't move independently. He cannot move independently. He needs your permission. He needs you to speak. He needs you to declare. He needs you to agree with the promise of God. Are you struggling financially? Then you need to get in that. Oh, why do we read the Bible? Why do we come to church? Because we need to know what he said. I know what my neighbor said because he tells me all the time. I know what my boss said, and it's not always nice. I know what this person said. I know what my mama said or what my daddy said. But what does God say? Because that's it. Didn't we sing that song? He's the only one that really matters. Yeah. Pastor Marquita preached this weekend about, you know, not buying into the comparison trap about what other people say about you, or you're too tall, or you're too skinny, or you're too old, or you're too fat, or you're too all of this. I mean, my God, who cares? What does God say about me? God says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, in his image. Oh, do I look like my daddy? I do. I know I do. Because he, not because you tell me, but because he told me. And you always believe what God says. Come on, right? Woo. Come on. Y'all better not just let this go in one ear and out the other. Do you feel, listen, if you're struggling financially, you gotta get in 3 John chapter 2 and find out where God says, brothers and sisters, I wish above all things. You have to understand this. This is a scripture in the Bible. I wish above all things that you would prosper and that you would be in health, just like your soul prospers. What? What? That's God's will for your life. Man, and if you need that, you better grab a hold of that. You better write it down. You better put it up on your mirror. You better write it on the backside of you. You know, Orthodox Jews, they would put scripture, you know, they'd band it around their head, or they'd put it on their wrist, and they'd take it out, and they'd read it, and they'd look at it. Man, I tell you, we got Bibles, we got libraries on our cell phones today. Come on. We have no excuse for not knowing what God said. We have no excuse for, well, I'm not a Bible scholar. I didn't go to Bible college. Do you have Google? You know how to do an internet search? You just got to go to internet search and type in a half a scripture, misspelled, leaving out some important parts. It don't matter. And I promise you, if you'll spend 2 minutes, you'll find it, what you're looking for. And then you got to put that under your feet, and you got to stand on it. How long, Pastor Scott? Until you convince yourself. Because, come on, we tell ourselves stuff all the time, but we don't really believe it. Huh? Tell yourself, I'm pretty. I'm pretty. Or I'm valuable. Or I'm smart. But you don't believe it. Right? You're just, you know, it's the preacher said say this. Or the teacher said say this. But you don't believe it. Listen, and if you don't if you don't believe it, you don't receive it. Oh, you could print some more banners about the year for more. And you can give everybody a little card. You can give them keychains. You can give them bumper stickers. But if you don't believe it, you ain't going to see no more or nothing. Your situation will not change because, again, you can't change it by complaining. You can't change it by griping. You can't change it by gossiping. You can't manipulate God into changing it. Hello? You got to agree with God. You have to agree with God. Come on, look at somebody and say, you got to agree with God. Ah. Pastor God, I've been praying for the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost. I want more Holy Ghost. Well, have you got in the Word? Well, Pastor Pretty said, you know, we could pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, yeah, he's right. But you got to get in the Word and you got to find, you got to. You can't just go to God on your cell phone and be like, God, yeah, Pastor Pretty said. And God's like, I love him, he's my son, but that's not how you get stuff from me. Now he'll tell you some stuff, but then you got to go find it in my Word, and then you got to declare it. You got to own it. Come on. And you can't fake God out either. Oh, I got it, God. I got it. I got it. God's like, no, you didn't. You memorized it. How many of you went to school and you memorized stuff, but you didn't learn nothing? Oh, you memorized stuff for that test. Oh, I forgot. I'm not used to preaching with a handheld. I'm sorry. I was just like, I was out there. Did you get that, though? Do I need to repeat the last 20 minutes? Oh, you got that, didn't you? Yeah, I believed you, too. See, you can tell when somebody gets it because you believe them, don't you? And there's people come up in the prayer line. You be like, you ready? You ready? And they're like, sure. And you're like, you ain't ready. Go sit back down. Come on. Come on. You ain't ready. I think I'm ready. If you think you're ready, you ain't ready. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you know you're ready. Come on. All right. Right? The woman with the issue of blood spent all the money she had, went to every doctor that she could find, got no better. Didn't get no more, right? No more better. That's not proper English there, right? Hello, but you know what I mean. And she said in her heart, if I could just touch the hem. Now listen, where did that come from? Where did that thought come from? Where did she get that? Now, some people cried out, the blind man, Jesus! She didn't do that. Where in the world did she come up with the idea, if I could just touch the hem of his garment? I know I'll be made whole. Because she was a woman of the word. Because the Old Testament prophet Malachi said in a prophecy that at some point at God's appointed time, the Son, hello, S-O-N, of righteousness would rise and there would be healing in His wings. Did you know the hem of the garment was called the wings? That's where the tassels rested on the wing of the garment. So you have to know when the woman was crawling on her knees and risking her life, and what she was reaching out to was a promise in God's word. She wasn't reaching out in hope. She wasn't reaching out just in dire, you know, straits. She, oh, that's the Son of Righteousness. And there's, oh, I remember the prophet said there'd be healing in those wings. I got to get to them wings. I got to get to them wings. Oh, see, what's cool about that is she didn't even need Jesus' attention. She just had to act on the word, and then who went to work? The executive power of God. Because Jesus walking along, people all over the place. And she reaches out and touches one of those little tassels. Whoa, I don't know what it looked like, but Jesus stopped. Said, who touched me? Oh man, you don't even need God's permission if it's in agreement with what God's already said. Has somebody ever came to you about something, an opportunity, you said, let me pray about it? Listen, if it's in the Bible, you don't got to pray about it. You know, somebody comes to you and be like, you need to, would you please consider working in the children's ministry, you know, helping us to train up these children the way they should go. Listen, you, I'm going to tell you, from today on, you can't say, I got to pray about it. What do you got to pray about? Well, I got to pray if that's God's will. What's in the Bible? Well, I got to pray if that's God's will for me. Well, that's for everybody. Everybody can help. Everybody's got a ministry of helps. Everybody can serve. Everybody, Jesus Himself said, I didn't come to be served, I come to serve. Yeah, but I'm waiting on my shot to get on the stage. Well, bless your heart. Be faithful back there and you may make it to the stage. But we tell people in our church, listen, if you can't serve behind the scenes, you're not worthy to serve in front of everybody. Because, are you hearing me? Now, some of us don't want to hear that. But it don't matter. It don't matter. Can I tell you that? It don't matter. Well, that hurts my feelings. Well, I'm sorry. But it's the truth. It's the way things work in the kingdom of God. And if you need more, if you want more, if you desire more, you can't just stand there at the altar with your hands out saying, gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy, and I heard somebody say this one time, and I read this in a book somewhere by somebody else. You got to know what God said, and you got to believe it, and you got to declare it until. And did you know your until might be 5 minutes? Your until might be 5 years? Your until may be 20. Well, that's not, I don't like that. Again, it doesn't matter. I'm just telling you how to get the more. Why are we going to spend all this time talking about the more if we don't know how to get it? If we don't know how to make room for it? If there's a part of your life, or maybe your whole life right now, feels chaotic, you need to remember Genesis 1:2. If you wonder where God is, if you wonder where that mighty power is, I tell you, the same place He was in the beginning. He's right there hovering over you and your situation. Just waiting for you to agree with God and declare that. And again, you can't fake Him out, right? We say that sometimes. Well, just fake it till you make it. It don't work. It don't work. Because you can't fake God. God knows our thoughts. He knows the very intents of our heart. Come on. He's hovering. He's brooding, tenderly, soothing, waiting for the word. John chapter 1, in the beginning, was the... because he's right here. The word was with God. The word was God. We know from the promises that that word is near us. How many has Jesus living inside of you? You've got the word living inside of you, but it's got to come out. It can't just stay in there hovering. It can't just stay in your imagination. It's got to come out in a belief. You got to know what God has said about your situation. How do I do that? You read your Bible. You study your Bible. You come to church. You hear. You listen. Because what God has said about your situation becomes your declaration. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, that's right. I agree with that. Hello? I'm blessed coming in and going out. Hello, I'm giving. The Bible says it's going to be given back into me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. Where's it going to come from? Heaven? No. God's not a counterfeiter. He ain't got no print press up there. Going to rain $1 million down in the sky. He'll be like, catch it, catch it, catch it. Given it shall be given back unto you. God said, I will cause men to give back unto you. Hello? Good measure, pressed down, shaking it. God, not a counterfeiter. There ain't no money in heaven. Why do they need money in heaven? There's no First National Bank of Glory of heaven, for goodness sake. Well, everything we need is down here. Come on. Everything you need is down here. Hello? Access to it by faith. Faith without works is dead. You got to know what it is. It's your declaration. It's your statement. A statement is something made by a party to a legal transaction. That's what your prayer needs to look like. Lord, you said. Lord, you promised in your Bible. Lord, that it was... You were wounded from my transgressions. You were bruised from my iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment that should have been mine, you took in your own body on the cross. And by your stripes, Father, by your stripes, you said, I'm healed. You said, God, you promised it. So I stand on it today. And Lord, I may not have the full revelation of that right now, but God, I will stand until I believe it, until the Logos becomes a rhema and I get the revelation that yes, this is for me. Oh my goodness. There was a parable in the Bible. Jesus was talking to a guy and the guy said, I believe you can heal me if you will. What did Jesus say? He didn't say, yeah, you're right, I can, but I won't, but I ain't, not gonna. The guy said, you can heal me if you want. You know, Jesus said, I want to. Can we just stop there? I just felt something on that. There's somebody here this morning or watching or whatever that you have no doubt that God can do it. But the doubt is leaning on, will he for you? Oh, I know he'll do it for Pastor Sam or Pastor Amy, or I know he'll do it for our brother back over here that's been ministering for 30-some-odd years or whatever. I believe, you know, spiritual veterans like that, yeah, they deserve that. But me, I don't know. I wasn't even here last Sunday. I didn't even get that one about money. I don't know who Jaden is. I didn't get the joke while ago. Come on. Hello? Hello? What do you need? What do you need more of? What are you praying for more? What is it? What's it for? What are you going to do with it? What's the purpose of it? What has God said is your declaration. What has God said is your statement. If you've ever been a witness, or if you've ever been in an accident, the police show up, they say, we're going to need a statement. We're going to need you to tell us exactly what happened. Were you a witness? Did you see what happened? Did you see the robbery? Did you see the accident? We're going to need a statement. And they take that from you, and they use it in a court of law. And be like, Pastor Sam, statement on record. What's your statement? Oh, I don't know, Pastor. I just want stuff. Just more of Jesus. Come on. Specifically, what do you want more of? What do you need more of? And it's equal, I believe. God's already promised to meet our needs by His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, but He's also promised to give us the desires of our heart. So what is? Stop being so vague with God. We got married and moved to Weatherford. We had two little kids. I had a 1990 Chevy Silverado extended cab pickup. And that was it. And our family was growing. My wife started seeing those Chevy Suburbans. And she said, we need a Suburban. I said, I need a raise. Those aren't cheap. No, but you know what we did? We said, well, I mean, we might have could have convinced God it was a need. I mean, our family was growing, and it was getting more difficult with just one car and stuff like that. But my wife, she said, I want a Suburban. I want a Suburban. I said, well, we got to stand on God. Well, let's just see if God will do something. I'm telling you the truth here. And so every time we'd see a Chevy Suburban going down the road, we said, thank you, Jesus, that you supply all of our needs. You give us the desires of our heart. Thank you, Jesus, for our Suburban. And we weren't coveting. We were, Lord, you blessed that. Oh, you got a Suburban? Can I sit in it? Because praying for one of these two, baby. It's nice. I like this. You blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for blessing my brother and my sister for this, Lord. And then we were just going down the road, and we'd see another one. Whoo, hallelujah. We were coming back from a conference one year. And the pastor was there preaching. He said, there's somebody God's going to lay on your heart. You need to go to, and you need to ask forgiveness, or you need to do something. My wife and I looked at each other sitting there in one of the rows like you guys, and we had the same person in mind. Now, we couldn't put our finger on anything. We didn't know what had happened, but we just felt like we needed. So on the way home from that conference, we said, Have you ever been to a conference or a service and God moved on your heart and gave you some instructions or something to do, and then but by the time you got out of the church, you're already like, they're probably not home. It's out of the way. Come on, anybody else here? Real? Human? Any humans? I know there's some Martians in the house, but any humans in the house? We said, well, we better try. So we pull up, and they got a long driveway, and we're like, oh, dang, they're there. You know, so we knock on the door, and we go in. They say, hey, how you doing? We're doing fine. We're doing fine, just in the neighborhood. And they knew we was lying because we're 75 miles away from them, you know. We just came back from a conference, and we said, oh, y'all want something to drink? We was like, yeah, sure, we'd take some tea. And we just sat there looking at each other kind of weird, you know, for a second. It's awkward. You know, sometimes a step out in faith is just like, I don't know. See, that God doesn't bless, I don't know. God don't bless, And we just sat there and we said, you know what? We just felt like we needed to come by and just ask you guys, you know, if there's ever anything we've ever done, you know, that's, you know, offended you without us knowing, or you know, we just ever did or said anything. We just want you to know we love you, and we're so sorry if we ever had. And that, I mean, once we pulled the Band-Aid off, it was quick, you know, and we just like, yeah, okay, well. And they're like, no. Yeah, I mean, they were all just, oh, you know, it's all. So I think we prayed, and then we left, and we started our trek back home, which is another, like I said, 75 miles. We got home, hadn't even unloaded our vehicle, got a phone call. Are you guys going to be home this evening? From this couple. I said, it's that couple. you know what was running through my mind? They changed their mind. They ain't going to forgive us. They're going to come to our house now, and it's going to be a different conversation. I'm like, oh, no. Honey, it's that couple. It's that couple. Are we going to be home? We just got home. But are we going to be, yeah, we're going to be home. They pulled up a couple hours later, something like that. And they said, thank you for coming by. You know, we have been praying. We just felt like there was something we needed to do for you, but we didn't know what it was until you came by our house and then you left. And I looked at my wife and I said, let's get in the car. And they said, could you come out here? And so we came outside and parked a half a block down the road is a brand new Chevy Suburban. Parked a half a block from my house. And they said, when you left, the Holy Spirit told us to go buy this for you. And it literally had 75 miles on it when we sat in it. And the first thing our second oldest son said, he threw his hands in the air. How old was he? Probably, he said, thank you, Jesus, for our Suburban. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, God will answer prayers. And that's a little thing. That's a little thing, but something we were praying for. And not just hoping for, something that we had put the word to. And something that we said, God, it's really a desire. And Lord, we know that you do things like this. We know that you're a generous God. And so, God, we just thank you. And man, I tell you what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened in our life. And I will say this, it's not because of how good of Christians we are. Come on. That's how good God is. But we didn't sit around like somebody on Hee Haw and be like, gloom, despair, agony on me. Wish I had a Suburban for me and my family. I mean, that don't entertain God. That doesn't move God. That doesn't get God excited. That doesn't do anything for the Holy Spirit. That might make the Holy Spirit move away. Right? He'd be hovering on down the street to the next person. Do you get what I'm saying here? But when we sing about the goodness of God and when we declare the goodness of God and the promises of God over our life and what we've been wanting more of, then God is obligated. He's obligated to meet our need according to His riches and glory in Christ. He's obligated. Why? Because He promised. Let's stand up to our feet this morning because I don't want to make us any later than we are. I could keep going. I got more notes. And I think I'm getting paid by the hour. So I was trying to drag it out. Not really. Not really. Not really. Not really. Who's ready for more? Anybody ready for more? Here's what I would like to close the service out this way, if it's okay. If you're ready, this is a worship team, right? I was making sure. There was Easter a few years ago. We were given an altar call, and I guess I was dragging it out. And some lady on the second row started waving her hand. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, can I just get saved? I said, I'm sorry. Let me shut up. Come on down and let's go. Let's do this, right? Don't move. Don't move, all right? Don't move just yet. Now, I know Christians have to do this, you know, and that's okay, but don't move your feet just yet. If you say, Pastor Scott, I'm ready for more. Now, where does the more come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. You know who you need operating in your life? You know who you need hovering over? You need the Holy Spirit. And you may be here this morning, you say, Pastor Scott, I don't know too much about the Holy Spirit, or I'm learning since I've been here, but I'm here to tell you, if you want the more of God, see, I don't just want to go to heaven. I don't even think that's my goal. Because when I came to Christ, I get heaven. Come on. Did I just mess everything up for a second? Okay, you understand, right? I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm not getting up every day working hard to make it heaven or make a living. That's my destination. What I'm trying to do is make earth look like heaven. What I'm Jesus told his disciples, pray this way, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm not trying to get to heaven, I'm trying to get heaven to earth. Hello? Hello? Why do I have to go through hell all of my life to make it to heaven? I want some heaven to go to heaven in. I want some life transformation. I want to see miracles and signs and wonders. I want testimonies. Hello? I want to hear and see the goodness. I want to taste and see. See, when God was giving the children the promised land, Moses said, we got to go check this out. And they sent the spies, and they didn't just go look. They came back with some stuff. They came back. They said, oh, taste this. This is from the promised land. Oh, look at this. This is from the place God said we're going. See, you know what the Bible says the Holy Spirit is? A foretaste of heaven. Oh, come on. Anybody want some heaven to go to heaven in? Anybody want to walk in the power of God? Anybody want some more this morning? If you want more in your life, I'm going to invite you down to the altar right here.